And this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, and coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world, even if you are in transit. Otherwise, welcome to British Columbia. Ha! And hello to Alaska. Whoa! Beautiful, beautiful place. And hello to all of you who are gathered here in our beautiful part of the world under overcast skies, which keeps us nice and cool at 67 degrees, as opposed to 90 in some places. We're good. It's time for Arts Live and Local. It is August 11th, 2017. This is Carol, your host. Very glad to be here with you on a weekend of busy times in Astoria with the Regatta Festival, lots of art. Astoria Art Walk is this weekend. Lots of music and theater. And we're here for you. I wanted to start out with a piece of music from a group I haven't heard from or about for quite a while, although they used to, the genesis of this group used to come here on a regular basis, and then Misty Mamas themselves came, and they are returning. They're going to be at Cape Disappointment tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. Let's hear from them, and then you'll hear all the arts.
In my land of 10,000 mothers, every song is a lullaby. Nobody marches. Dance in the airport and cry. Nobody dies on the highway. Too many words left unsaid. In the land of 10,000 mothers, we all sleep safe in our bed. Milk and honey flow without end. Nobody goes away wanting. You are welcome wherever you've been. You are welcome to lay your head down and get a kiss for everyone. 10,000 mothers, you will get better soon. You are welcome, no matter what chases you, whatever road you chose through the wood. In the land of 10,000 mothers, somebody loves you and knows you are good. Somebody loves you and knows you are good.
And that is Misty Mamas. And they will be here again on tomorrow night at Cape Disappointment. That's the Waikiki Beach Concert Series. And it's a beautiful setting. You can check that out. Right now, I am delighted to be hosting my good friend, Christos Koutsouras, who came here from afar, from many places afar. And sometimes he goes back, but he always comes back here. And we're very happy about that. So Christos is originally from Greece, spent a lot of time in Germany, and he gets around. And tomorrow night, he is opening a brand new exhibit. What's the name of your show?
With my heavy accent, it's been said, Venetian Red for the Despina.
That was not just an accent. That was a foreign language.
Thank you, Carol. Yes. Well, I would like to say say hello to all of languages, to the people that are listening to us. We forgot the Greeks. So, Kalispera.
Kalispera.
Whoever is with us tonight on that part of the Yasu.
Yasu. Good. So, tomorrow night, Imogen Gallery is celebrating its fifth anniversary. We'll hear a little bit about the gallery. Its time has gone so quickly. How long have you been showing there?
5 years.
So you came in right at the beginning?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Congratulations to Terry Sund and to all the people who have helped make this gallery a beautiful place and an inspiring place, including Christos. I want you to tell us, I've got it right here in front of me. I've got a beautiful book with photos of your work, and the name in my accent is Venetian Red for Despina.
Despina, yeah. And Despina, Despina is a real person, a Greek who lives in Germany. And I was supposed to do a work for here that never have been done. And as I'm always doing, I did a note in my notebook. And when I was looking for a title for the work, I thought that would be great because of Despina and because of Red, because all the work is about that net set, that big red, as we call it in Astoria.
Right. Big red. And do you know what street that's on? I should know this, but
it's on 31st Street.
31st. Right on the water.
On the waterfront.
For those of you who are local, I'm sure you all know, that was the amazing building that had its top removed. That was the 2007?
It's 2007,
and
yeah.
And the huge storm that we had, the whole top came off, and that was an artist's workshop, studio. Royal Nebuchadnezzar, Royal and Sarah have the place, and it was a shock. Mm-hmm. And there were several attempts. We had a huge attempt at a benefit, bringing in Country Joe McDonald and Jefferson Airplane, all kinds of, to try to earn the money to fix it. But I don't know whether it's even fixable. It's
well, it is fixable. What you need is somebody who can share a crazy idea or a vision or what a lot of people they call utopia. And is there where arts come to speak about that even though there is a very business aspect to the arts, what really makes things that they go beyond the everyday life is like being able to share a utopia and take something that which means impossible and turn it into possible. That means you need some deep pockets that they can share a very good idea, and I hope there is somebody out there who listened to us today that maybe come forward someday and we can work on creating a place for culture in Astoria, which is necessary. I mean, it's a necessity. It's a place with a lot of artists, with a lot of things that are happening in this city, and not really a space to showcase the work.
And the sooner someone comes forward, the better, because the weather is what it is, mm-hmm. and it continues to rain down or pour down upon this building. It's an iconic spot, and we would love to have that. So listen carefully. come to the show tomorrow evening at Imogen Gallery. It's nice and safe in that space,
right.
Of course. I have in front of me the announcement for the show. What made you decide to devote this show to Big Red?
Well, I started 7 years ago to come down here and work on different shows, and that's my fourth exhibition, the fourth body of work I'm creating in Astoria, and the third that we are showing with Terry in Imogen. And the Red Building has been a point of focus and attention and observation from my side, and something that I have worked beforehand, like with that. I have, in my exhibition in Indianapolis 2011, I had an installation referring to the building.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I have. I have recorded the wind going through the cracks, like with 50 miles an hour, and Israel has done the mix. So you could really had that feeling like you was really out there while everything happened.
Maybe we should play that tomorrow night when people come to the opening.
Come, yeah. That's the one thing. And the other is, like, I love things and that they have a patina, that they get they can show the time passing.
And this is just an extraordinary piece. Even if someone had no idea what they were looking at, it's absolutely gorgeous. Can you talk about it a little bit?
Well, it's the building, the way you see it from when you're standing outside on the river walk, the front side of the building, the third floor, it's missing. You can see that it's a dilapidated structure, but at the same time, you can feel the, and you can see the aesthetic. The aesthetic on that falling apart. And
but you have, or should I say, and you have as much going on in the reflection in the water.
Underneath that, it is up there, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, because everything mirrors. Mm-hmm. And water is like an element that has been a big part of my life and something that I have been coming back to it in my themes over and over again.
Yeah, you were actually born and raised on an island. On an island that I have visited, actually, Samos.
And you're invited to come again.
Okay. Everybody's listening. Uh-oh. You didn't say Carol, you're invited.
Carol.
You said you're invited.
And everybody's invited. Of course, everybody will visit Samos.
There you go. It's a beautiful island. So, yes, I can see water, but what's the medium you work in?
I have worked on oils and acrylics, like I'm always do. I'm using pigments, two black and white pieces. With references to the history of art, like buildings, they have voices as well, and not only humans. That's the scream. So the big pieces, they're acrylics. Two of them, they're oils. And then the smaller pieces, they're all oils on wood, on boards, basically.
Tell us about your art background before you came to Astoria, before you saw Big Red.
Well,
and why you came to Astoria, although the water is, I'm sure, an important part. But.
Well, I was working with the human figure mostly in Europe on compositions that they were based on the human figure. And after I came to the Pacific Northwest, kind of like nature took the attention. So I did a series of paintings in Seattle skyscapes, like I call them. And after that, it was logical to start looking towards the ocean. And the rest is history. The rest is just like an amazing amount of work and number and the quality.
So when you start working on something, do you just stay with it, you stay focused for many hours, or do you take, what works for you in terms of your working style?
Well, I start working on that theme, on that exhibition 2 years ago, right after I finished the last show, Accessible to All.
Right.
I was already working on the building, on that exhibition. And for it was that September where the bridge went down, and I had no access to the studio for a year and a half. So I was in the position to be outside and observe.
Interesting.
I mean, this is what I have done to my viewers and the visitors in the museum, in the exhibition in Indianapolis. All of a sudden, I was out there just like getting really angry and longing to work and going there and work. I wasn't able to do it. But throughout my travels, also in Europe, like Denmark and Greece, I always have a pen and a notebook, and I'm always working. So it was a, it came easily out in a way that there are the results of a long year's observation. And I have actually a nice story to that. Coming from Japan.
Coming from
Japan?
How did Japan jump in here? We're talking about Europe and the
U.S. Well, it's because I do like the Eastern way of
were you
thinking.
Living there?
No, okay. not my story. It's something I read. I read back when I was a student.
Okay.
So the emperor goes to a painter and asks him to paint a pair of hands for him, and the painter says, "Yes, please come next year to the same day back, and I will give you your painting." So the emperor goes back next year the same day, and the painter says, "I'm not done yet, next year the same day." And on the 10th year, when the emperor goes back, so he take out his paper, his ink, and he paints the hands and hand them over. And the emperor says, "Why took you so long to paint it? You just did it in front of me within minutes." He said, "Well, it took me so long to get to know it, to study it." And that describes very much the way I'm working. I'm an observer. I'm thinking about it. I have to try it over and over again on paper, on different media. And when it comes out to lay out the theme, then I'm pretty much sure of what I'm doing.
Okay, yeah. Interesting.
Well, you asked me what
exactly
I was doing. Outside while I was waiting.
I walked past and I tapped him on the shoulder and I said, "Christos, are you writing down what you want to say?" And he said, "No, I'm sketching."
Exactly.
and there it is, right?
I'm working for my next theme already, and you know, just putting down the shapes and
interesting
and the forms and the tensions between the light and the dark surfaces that I'm going to follow on time to for the next series of work.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, now I'm going to go back a little bit more because I'd remembered this, but I also have a cheat sheet, which is this beautiful book, which is probably going to be available
tomorrow.
It's
going to be available, yeah.
You will be able to buy this tomorrow night.
It's a small catalog being laid out by Terry with lots of love and attention. And
wonderful replication, full-page replications of the work. But it reminded me about your being a merchant marine. So you were born on an island, and then you went to work in the water as well.
Mm-hmm.
Were you making art from the beginning, or was that sort of percolating also?
Well, I had a conversation with my friend the other day, and the day before I came here, and I was talking about Morandi and how he's an Italian painter. I just read an interview that he gave 1957, like 3 weeks before I was born, and he has never left his village, the town he was born, and he was there doing his work all the time. And I wanted to be a painter, but I had to leave so I could become a painter, because it wasn't something, growing up, it wasn't something like it was appropriate. People will tell you, you're going to suffer, you're going to be hungry. And they were right on times, you know. It's just like, it goes with the territory, it is the price to pay. But I wanted always to become this, what I'm doing now. And at the same time, the travels, they have helped me to my observation and wherever there is a little thought which goes with those forms and colors.
And it grows your world, your entire.
Right.
Did you actually study academically in the arts as
yes,
well?
Yes, I did. I started in Berlin and finished in Bonn.
Okay.
Therefore, I graduate. Right. You see, I've been doing all things the other way around in my life. I mean, my life has never been a linear thing. So sometimes I had to start from the end to, from the beginning to go to the end. And
well, I'm delighted around. That you still go back and forth and all around because I'm hoping to get to Samos someday and you'll still be there.
I have done a lot of friends here in Astoria and through my paintings and I do hope that one day we will be able to create a kind of an exchange between those two cities.
Mm.
I think there was something we have mentioned last time we were here talking, we two playing music.
Yeah.
And it's still something that is in my thought and in my things to consider and, mm-hmm. and in my action.
Well, do it. Yes, yes. And of course, that means we need partners. And Astoria, now you came 7 years ago, so Astoria was already a growing arts, large arts community.
Mm-hmm.
I've been here 43 years, and it was a lot less so. And it's been exciting. And I'm thinking that may be part of what drew you here, was that there is a, as opposed to on Samos, because, you know, in the United States, too, parents tell their kids, art is good, you can make pictures, but study, fill in the blank, and make a living.
Mm-hmm.
So everywhere, I think, people say that. So, but when there's a community that exists, then it kind of, kids grow up thinking, okay, gotcha, mom, gotcha, dad, but that guy over there, that woman there, they're making beautiful things, and they're alive and living and making life and making communities.
You've got to be a living example. I mean, I have another example, another story about that, what you said. In the 90s, I was living in Cologne before I went to New York. And Cologne at the time, it was the capital, the city that everything happens in the world about arts. Cologne and New York, they were fighting who was the...
Really?
Yeah. And that was the 90s. It was the golden time of being an artist. Like, there were a lot of money going around. And so in a survey in Germany among teenagers and young adults, when they were asking what were their dream job to do, they were saying artist.
Wow.
I don't know if they will say the same thing today, but you can see how opinions they can change.
Ebb and flow of what's popular. But again, this community at least, I think, is making it safe for the arts. On the other hand, there are tremendous needs for places, affordable studios, affordable housing. We have a wonderful art store, Dots and Doodles, that you know, came out of sort of nowhere. It was a small place, but it was able to grow because there was a demand. And then across the river in El Waco and all in the peninsula, the art scene developed, not to mention Gearhart and Seaside. Cannon Beach was always an arts town. But I find it very exciting to see, as I say, tomorrow night is Art Walk. You can see many galleries. I'm just going to name a few, but Christos will be at Imogen Gallery. And now there are art walks all over.
Lovely.
And we try to separate them so there's people can go to each other's. And it's been pretty successful. So, interestingly, I have some guests coming to visit me from Cologne.
Nice.
This weekend.
Really? So, yeah. Oh, great.
Not
just bring
until
them
Sunday,
over.
I'm afraid. Well. They won't be here in time for the opening, but we'll check it out.
Yeah, check it out on
That's
Sunday.
That's funny you mentioned it. I did want to say that Imogen Gallery joined the arts community for Astoria's second Saturday Art Walk. Almost, well, it is exactly five years ago, August 11th. So tomorrow night will be the 12th. That's close enough. 2012, with contemporary works by accomplished international artists and local emerging talent and everything in between. Represented artists all share the common thread of passion and professionalism for what they do, which translates very successfully into original and compelling style. So the focus is on quality, fine art, and craft, while also cultivating a space that enriches the community and the culture. And I find that very exciting. And what's fun for some, because I had my daughter, who's in her early 50s, and my granddaughter, who's 10, come to visit last week,
right.
And we went to Imogen, and then the young one shifted right through the door to Cargo, which is right next door and full of international stuff, some of which is great fun. So we want to, again, a big mazel tov to Terry and Imogen, and I find it delightful that you are going to be the featured artist this month because, yes, you were there when Terry opened the place. And I would highly recommend when you go to Imogen, whether you're able to come tomorrow night or anytime, you go in the back room as well, see the fantastic exhibit of High High Lights and artwork as well. Some of your art was...
The big pieces there back there.
Yeah. What size is this show?
Oh, no, that's I kind of like have limited myself on only four big pieces, and they don't go bigger than 5 feet something.
Okay. That's good of you, because yeah. It's not a huge gallery. We still recall the time before Jim opened Carruthers,
right.
When it was an open space,
right.
And your huge, beautiful art was all over.
Exactly. That was a museum setting. It was a very,
yes.
very...
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why we need an exhibition space in Astoria, so we can showcase work in different setting.
So from your mouth to the goddess's ears,
exactly.
This should come. But it takes more than hope. It takes all of us putting our passion and our beliefs where we want it to be. So congratulations, Christos. I'm looking forward.
Thank
again,
you.
The name of the show in Greek is, or with your pronunciation, how did you say this at the beginning? I can't remember what you said.
No. Kokino Venecianico Kokino Yati Despina. Venecianico Kokino Yati Despina.
There you go. And from me, Venetian Red for Despina. And it will be featuring the Big Red building. And in honor of that, and because also Blind Pilot has a show tomorrow night, which is in Portland Zoo, and it's sold out, I highly recommend you stay right here in Astoria. There is going to be amazing music going on. Here's something from Blind Pilot, Israel Nebaker. And thank you so much for coming in, Christos.
Thank you for having me.
Our time is ever on the road, the ride is in what we make. I want to hear how this give and take. But hear it this way. We'll be right back.
Well, while we finish up with Blind Pilot from their We Are the Tide album. And there it is, the title cut. I did want to let you know that Art Loft will be showing Jeannie Carey's photography at the Astoria Art Loft tomorrow from 2 to 5. And then Tempo, then the rest of the exhibits are 5 to 8. Tempo is showing Ed Peterson, who was my guest last week. River Sea has a double show featured Garrick Simonson with regional history, 114 years of regional history, and Noel Thomas with Old Friends and Relative Strangers, 27 new watercolors. And the AVA has a pop-up gallery at 80 11th Street with Brenda Harper, Imaginary Architecture, and their AIR, Artist in Residence Gallery at 11th and Exchange will be showing Tyler Little's Astorians and More, and Andy Sterling's final project. Old Town Framing is featuring Astoria High School alum Cody Fox, and Luminary Arts has Ben Sobey's Inside Out with music by Bill Hayes. Forsythia is showing Sharon Greenwood Pottery. And I could go on for 10 minutes, but instead I have guests for you. And I would rather you get to hear from them about what else is going on here. You are listening to Coast Community Radio's Arts Live and Local with Carol. And there is so much happening. So, what's happening on Wednesday and Thursday of the next 2 weeks is the Liberty Readers Theater. That's in the McTavish Room at the Liberty Theater on 12th and Commercial, but the entrance for the McTavish is on 12th. The name of the play is The Sum of Us by David Stevens, and it had an off-Broadway debut October 1990, and that's all I know, except that there's a novel pricing involved here to get you to get off your butts and come to the theater at the beginning, if you want to save substantially. Mm-hmm. So my guest, Sen Inkavo, who is the director and sort of the, well, he's...
I'm also one of the actors.
One of the actors, but you're also the person who makes Reader's Theater happen.
Thank you.
At the Liberty. And you even have a job at the Liberty. You're there at the box office sometimes?
Mm-hmm. I work the box office.
Work the box office, mm-hmm. So you can catch Zen on or off theater.
Definitely.
And you look awfully familiar.
I just love this place. Can't get enough of it.
There you go. Derek Moore is my guest here because he is one of the actors. But last week, he was his own musician because he has a brand new album out, and we've been playing it and enjoying it, and you'll be hearing more of that. But today, he's here with his actor's hat on. Well, he's actually not even wearing a hat. Sen, on the other hand, is, I'm glad to see. Tell us, what is The Sum of Us, and tell folks what Liberty, Reader's Theater means, too, for those who still don't know.
Well, The Sum of Us, it's S-U-M, not S-O-M-E, so it's the adding sum. And it's a play basically about we are the sum of what our parents were, our grandparents, and all the generations before. And it's a very interesting play. It's talked about in a lot of critics' circles that... the characters are extremely complete. It's a very funny act one. Act two gets a little more serious. Yet it should play summer stock theaters for years to come.
I saw that written somewhere that it is kind of become a classic in a way. Mm-hmm. So,
and with Reader's Theater, we do have scenery and we have the necessary props. Yet the benefit is that the actors don't have to memorize the lines. We're actually reading them. out of our own devised script, yet we do have movement. There's lights and sound. So we make it as close to a real production without having memorized lines as we can.
Although I've noticed that many of your actors have studied their lines, so they use the book, mm-hmm. but it's not distracting. I find Reader's Theater to be in a way more focused because I'm focusing on the words that are coming from, rather than people moving mm-hmm. from one side of a stage to another or coming.
Well, and it's all about the words. A lot of plays that have been made into movies, the reason why the movies are such a success is because it was a script first where you're listening to the words. Mm-hmm. They tell the story, costumes, scenery, all of that stuff can enhance it, but it doesn't make the play work if the words aren't there.
Well, you have been very exciting about choosing in the last year or couple of years. You've been choosing some very, I'd say, cutting-edge theater, and it's been very exciting for us to have that in Astoria.
Thank you. So. I think that, you know, I think it's important. The theater literature, there's so much of it. And I prefer to do things that are a little on the edge.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that I have the venue to do that.
Yeah, it's been wonderful, especially these days. You're doing, what, 4 Reader's Theater productions a year? Is that what I read?
We're doing 6.
6? Holy cow.
We try one every other month.
Holy cow. That's fantastic. Good good for you and good for us.
Thank you.
So, Derek,
yes.
You have done, in addition to your piano and guitar and all the other skills you have in the high-earning area, you have acted in lots of different plays.
Yeah.
What do you think about this play or the idea of doing Reader's Theater versus the other?
Well, honestly, Reader's Theater for me works fantastically because I have a really busy schedule with a bunch of other stuff, work and artistic endeavors. And so not having to give up 3 to 4 months of my life but still be able to act in a really good play is great because the time commitment is much less because you don't have to memorize lines. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of the only theater I can do at the moment, really, is Reader's Theater. So I'm really grateful that Sen has this going. It's strong. It's every single time we do a show, because I've done a number with them already, more and more people show up. So the word's catching on. I think a lot of it, though, is just the shows he's picking.
He's
really
picking good shows.
Meaty, and good stuff.
And you folks are doing an excellent job.
Thanks.
Thank you.
It really makes a difference. And it's exciting to the... Again, I was just talking to Christos about how the arts and culture have grown so much in this community. We, of course, at one time had a thriving theater mm-hmm. program through the college and various other River Theater, peer pressure. Mm-hmm. We've lost a lot, so I am especially glad that you've brought this back, and who knows where it will go. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So you've played some difficult parts. How does this compare? I don't know how
this
much
one,
you want
this to... This is a little lighter than some of the others. In some ways, it's lighter. In other ways, perhaps not, because it has a lot of depth, but not in quite the same intensity as the other ones we've done. This is a little... It takes place in Australia, so the Australian... lingo, it's written very much in that dialect, so it sort of flips off the tongue. It just creates a lightness and a sort of funness, and the Sen and I play a father and son, and the it's fun. It's just really, it's fun to watch. I think it's fun to act in.
I figured who was the father.
Thank you.
Yes. Quite all right. And the other two parts, so you have a father and a son. Who are the
and then we have a character named Greg, who'll be played by Bill Honnell.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Ham. Sorry.
Two excellent Bills in
right,
this town.
Exactly.
So.
Sorry about that, Bill Ham. And then there's a character named Joyce that is going to be played by Susan Wentworth.
Oh, okay. Who was also, I haven't seen her on stage recently, but
I think the last show she did with us was All of the Timing, mm-hmm. With Nancy Montgomery, myself,
ago.
And Derek.
Yeah, we've got a terrific group of thespians in this town.
We do.
So yeah. We just need to provide the materials. That
exactly.
Come forth.
Right.
Okay. Now tell folks when it's happening. First, I already said it's opening. Next week, that would be the 16th and 17th of August. That's Wednesday and Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell them, the 23rd and 24th, Wednesday and Thursday the next week. Mm-hmm. So, now we don't generally give prices, but this is so novel that I think I'm going to slip the chain here. And however you want to present what the heck you're doing here, go for it.
Well, what we've done is some people thought that our $15 price was too much. And so what I've done is that opening night, the 16th, is $5. You can come in for $5, yet there are only 50 tickets available for each performance. The second performance is $10. the third performance of the next week is $15, and the final performance, the closing night, is $20. So the longer you wait, the more you pay.
Right. Now, what happens if closing night nobody shows up because everybody rushed for the – aren't you guys
gonna... – Then we get to go home.
Oh. That's right.
Whenever you, and also closing night typically has more people because a lot of people wait until
the very
actors
end.
Have gelled right. and everything.
Well, we have realized in town that it takes word of mouth.
Yeah.
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 And you've got to have that because initially we were doing Reader's Theater just two nights. And as soon as we went to doing it four nights, our audience more than doubled.
Yeah. Well, it's true. It does take word. That's why we're here. We're the mouths that are bringing
right.
this word out.
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks,
but I don't think that I've ever heard of that. Now, Astor Street Opry Company has done something where they've had, I don't know if they're still doing it, but they did have bargain Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never heard of this. This kind of plan, I guess you'll find out how it works. But
yes,
folks,
we will.
How do people get tickets?
They can call the Liberty Theater box office, or they can get them online through the Liberty website, which is libertyastoria.org.
Right.
One of the reasons for doing this pricing system is that I don't think anybody, well, they can complain, but I don't think they would complain about this pricing structure.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. They better not.
Well, it allows...
Get your butt in there if you want
right,
a
yeah.
low price. Yeah.
It allows people to have an opportunity to see a show for, you know, because sometimes 15 bucks is a bit steep.
Right. Now you can have three people for 15 bucks.
Yeah. Yes.
And if you would like to support the theater, you can come back again.
Mm-hmm.
So the phone number is 503-325-5922, and the box office is extension 55. Or you can drop by 12th and Commercial.
Mm-hmm. We're open Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday from 2 until 5:30.
Unless you're here. Oh, maybe someone else is in the box office right now.
Someone else is okay. in the box office
okay,
right
now. Okay, so you can head over there right now. So 2 till 5:30. You said.
Yes, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Wednesday to Saturday. Okay, I'm going to just jot that down for myself because you never know. And, okay, and the play is The Sum of Us by David Stevens. If you want to know more about the play, you can always look it up. Personally, I like to have surprises. Is there an age kind of that it would be inappropriate for?
It is adult themed and content.
Okay.
So it's up to the parent or guardian to decide if they want to let anybody in that's under 18, but I would say 18 and above.
Right. Or a mature teenager who has done theater, or there are folks from Astoria High School who've done some pretty mature plays.
Exactly.
Jenny Newton.
When I first moved to town, they were doing the Laramie Project.
The Laramie Project, exactly. And so as long as folks have an idea and you can, when you call in, you can check and see. So my guests, Derek Moore, one of the actors and the man behind the brand new album called Sovereign. which you'll be hearing more about, because at some point there'll be a CD release party, I have no doubt. And Bill Hamm and Susan Wentworth and Sen Incavo are the actors, and directed by Sen. And it's happening Wednesday and Thursday, the 16th and 17th, and the 23rd and 24th at the Liberty Theater. That's libertyastoria.org. You don't have to know how to spell theater. Okay. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Carol.
And congratulations.
Thank you, Carol.
Break your legs, even though you're the director, you're acting too, so you can both break your legs.
Thank you.
And I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks, Carol.
Okay. Bye, Carol.
Bye-bye. And I have some music for you from my next guest, my last guest of the day, and that would be the Columbia River Symphony. Columbia River Symphony. I do want to tell you while he's coming in that the tonight, Astor Street Opry Company, Friday, Saturday, and Thursday at 7 o'clock is Shanghai and Astoria. I saw it. My 10-year-old granddaughter loved throwing popcorn, and we all enjoyed the play this year. Coaster Theater has Steel Magnolia tonight and Sunday and next Thursday, and Clue, the musical, Saturday and Wednesday. They're also having auditions Monday and Tuesday for Christmas Carol. The regatta is all over the weekend. You're going to hear more about that in a minute. And the Sou'wester is packed with stuff and people. If you were lucky, you heard Albert's show this morning with Lucy Barna, who is making music tomorrow night, along with Matt Seltzer. And tonight, they have Joseph Hine. Saturday, they also have a creative nonfiction with Melissa Favara. And there's a vintage trailer thing going on. And then Lindsay Taylor will be there next Thursday. Fort George is also doing it up big this weekend, celebrating regatta with a block party, an unofficial regatta party. And it will be happening tonight. There'll be a movie, and tomorrow there's music at 4 with Will West, 6 Countryside Ride. 8 o'clock is Giants in the Trees. That's Christ, Ray, Jillian, and Eric. Sunday, 4 to 10 music. Winecraft tonight with the Sugar Thistles. And you, if we're lucky, you'll hear a little of them later. Adrift, always good music. Picture Attic has a show tonight, 5:30, an opening. And Manzanita News and Espresso, the Upper Left Edge writers, are celebrating Finland's independence. And Tango Weekend at the Astoria Arts and Movement Center tomorrow, 12:30, and on into the night. And there's more on Sunday. And then the Natal Grange, I don't know if that's Saturday or Sunday. I read two different things, so check that out from 3 to 8. It's going to be a big party and dance. And Marga's Art is at the Cove Restaurant, Astoria Art Walk, you've heard. And Lloyd Jones at Sweet Basil's. Kala has Bikini Beach Surf Rock with Lorenzo Carlson, Peter Unander, and Jeff Carden. And the Waikiki Beach Concert, you heard the Misty Mamas. Last thing I want to tell you is Sunday, the Burke is having a couple of wonderful shows. Wheeler has Salmonberry Saloon, and Sweet Basil has Brad Griswold, and then Wolfhaven is coming to Shoalwater Bay Tribal Library in Tokeland on Thursday, and Cardam is having their Wingding on Thursday as well. Well, I mentioned the regatta, and indeed, my next guest is part of that. Is part of that because I have Corey Peterson here, and you are hearing some of their music. Ooh, that's pretty exciting music. Holy cow. I'm going to let Corey tell you what it is, but in the meantime, Corey, I'm going to let him tell you everything. Let's just hear the music a little bit.
Thank you.
Okay. Wow. This is so exciting. Corey, what are we listening to?
Well, this is actually James Horner's The Mask of Zorro.
Oh, of course. How could I not recognize Zorro?
Yeah, one of my Spanish, heroes. A lot of Spanish flair in this one.
So you're here because Columbia River Symphony and...
And it's the Peacock Music Concert Band out of Vancouver, which happens to be my identical twin brother's group.
I love it! He's the conductor there. Corey is the conductor of Columbia River Symphony. He's also the conductor of the North Oregon Coast Symphony, but this one is CRS. Hmm. And they are doing the finale to the regatta, a concert at Astoria High School Auditorium. Is mm-hmm. that where it's going to be?
That's it. Yep.
Okay.
That's at 3 o'clock on Sunday, yeah, to close off the regatta.
That's fantastic. Did you do that last year or
We've done it for the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
So, but we've only combined 4 times with my brother's group, so we've hosted it once ourselves, but we have a blast doing it every time, so we're doing it again.
So when you combine, does everybody integrate in voices and, I mean, in instruments and mm-hmm. all that kind of?
So my brother, he's had all the music for, about 8 weeks or so, and we've also had it for about 8 or 9 weeks. And so each group rehearses it. So they've been practicing in Vancouver, and we've been practicing here in Astoria, Warrington area. And then the day of the concert, we get together at 10 in the morning, and we put it together.
That's the first time you're all together.
So we only have 2 hours to do it, and then by the time the concert comes, we've
you nailed it, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. So how many, do you have an idea of how many people will be on the stage?
Yeah, we try to put about 100 plus on our programs, and that's what it is. We got 65 in CRS, and my brother's group has just north of 40.
Okay, so it's a good thing you're at the Astoria High School Auditorium because that's the only place that can put that many people on stage. And how did you choose the music? Does Zorro go out on a boat for regatta? I don't know.
No, not at all. No, this is purely fun. This is one of the times... music is fun in general, but this is one of the times where you try to reach as many audience, old and young alike. And for whatever reason, pop music is just one of those that people... kind of agglomerate to. They just like that kind of stuff, and then it just energizes them. So this music is just energetic fun, just different pieces that people want to hear. And
tell us what else you're going to be.
Well, we've got quite a few. We've got, of all things, Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture, where actually CRS is going to perform.
Good.
Popular classical music. And then John Williams' Superman. Mm-hmm. And then the one you just heard, Mask of Zorro. Hans Zimmer's The Lion King, which people nice. Very much enjoy. Randy Edelman's war epic Gettysburg. And then also we're going to conclude the program, another Hans Zimmer piece, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, my. Okay, now that one fits the regatta kind of theme. So tell us a little bit about, I'm going to, actually, what you don't know, you can't hear it, is that I've had the music going in the background all this time, but I'm going to bring it down now and ask you to tell us a little bit about Columbia River Symphony, how long you've been around, and who it is, who's in it.
Okay, so we are gearing up for our decade anniversary coming up here next spring, which is going to be a big deal. We're going to really advertise that one. But it's no longer, I know a lot of people often think youth and kids, and it very much is appropriate for the youth and whatnot. But we like to think that it's transgressed beyond that. It's now a community ensemble, and I guess I don't want to label it as a group that's for the youth anymore. It is truly a community.
Started it for the youth, but didn't the adults get jealous and they all came and joined it?
So that has never changed. So it's still some of the best musicians that you'll find out here along the North Oregon coast. And I often stress, sometimes people will say the youth musicians, that's just what they are. But I like to think of it this way. When you have youth in the school systems that are practicing 5 hours a day, every day in an ensemble, they oftentimes, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but many of them are quite awesome players because they're instilled with this professionalism of how to play and perform every single day versus a lot of other musicians that just kind of get together once a week and it's hard sometimes.
And some of the older folks have come back to music.
Yes.
Whereas, so they did it because they love it, mm-hmm. but still some of the young ones are, so, the passion is growing, growing, growing. It's on that end. So What's your age range?
So I think we're the youngest we have is probably very late middle school. We don't have a lot of middle schools, but just probably late middle school. And then we have some individuals that are probably, I'm going to say, in their 80s. I'm being very honest with you.
Nice.
And just to support, we have individuals coming from Portland all the way down Pacific City that come out.
Really?
And just the comments that they say, which is this ensemble really brings quite a bit of joy to their lives.
Lovely.
It's a very, very warm and welcoming and just a positive experience for everybody.
That's quite inspiring to, and I'm sure it feels great for you.
It does.
To have
you know, for
that
all
kind of feedback
for all the work and all the things that go behind the scene that only my wife and I see, which sometimes is it's very hard for us sometimes. But in the end, when you see what it's doing for everybody and the joy,
right.
And just for the community, it really it's worth it.
So. How do people get involved? And do you have any parent-child teams in the group at this point? Or
you know, we lost our most current ones were Coast Guards, and they just left after 5 years, the Lutes. And so that was our only parent one. We have a lot of brother or sister ones, but not so much parent son-daughter ones currently. But
how does someone get involved?
Well, very easy. We have a website, ColumbiaRiverSymphony.org, which we're looking at upgrading fairly soon here. But simply just go on there, find out the dates, or our Facebook page on Columbia River Symphony, and we keep that updated fairly often. And we are already recruiting for the next season, which is going to be our winter-themed Christmas concert with the Warrenton School District, December 9th at the Liberty. And that one's a great time to join because it's fun music that people understand. The holiday stuff, it's not hard to get into. And so all I ask is just contact me, whether it's the contact information on the webpage or through Facebook, and just let me know you're interested, and I'll be happy to invite you in. And you can even just sit down and listen if you want. Or
So people need to be able to read music, though.
Yes,
okay.
For this, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And is there an audition that folks go through, or they sort of self-select when they see they can or can't do it?
That's what this group is. It's not an audition group. Majority of the people that come in, if it is too hard, they're there for a rehearsal or two, and then they decide, talk with me and say, you know, this is not quite where I'm at yet.
Right.
Or if they're at the early beginning levels, they play what they can play and they sit out for the rest of the parts and come back in when they can.
Okay. You have done your shows in various venues as well, unusual venues. Is that part of the mission, is just kind of to...
You know, I want to say most likely for unusual venues for CRS was at the moment when we didn't have as much finances, and also we didn't have the notoriety in the arts community, to be honest with you, at the younger age. And so we did anything we could to get our name out there. And boy, oh boy, you know, I think we've done a pretty good job of that.
Absolutely.
But I'm also an outside-of-the-box thinker, where if you want to perform... pick a spot, you know, whatever it is, and then someone tells me you can't do it there, although you just challenged me, we're going to be doing it there. So that's, I'm kind of in that venue also. It's, don't say you can't do something, because I'll find a way to make sure we can do it.
Yeah, and they've been quite wonderful. I've thoroughly enjoyed going to these, and across the river in the school, and then here at the Masonic Lodge,
yes.
which
we haven't done in a while, just simply because we've gotten too big.
Right. Yeah, clearly. And temperatures might matter, too.
Yeah.
So, in various places.
Yeah.
Okay, folks, this is your chance to, whatever you're doing or not doing with Regatta, come on over to Astoria High School, and that I'm going to let you find it yourself. You look it up, Astoria High School, and find it if you don't know. And the concert is at 3 p.m. on Sunday. It's the closing part of the regatta, and it is the Columbia River Symphony and the Vancouver Washington's Beacock, that's with a B, music concert band. You will have identical twins, Corey and, is it Carrie?
Carrie, yes.
I don't know how your parents did that. Corey and Carrie Peterson are the two conductors. Are you taking turns conducting, or are you doing all that?
Yeah, he'll go first and I'll go second.
Oh,
we combine, then we'll split them up.
Oh, God, it's great. It's a Pops concert, and everyone's invited, all ages.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks so much for being here, Corey.
Okay, thank you.
Folks, you're listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook. Thanks for being here. Coming up next is Left, Right, and Center, and stay tuned.